Hello, champions. It's Stevie Wonder, and even I can see you've got good taste. You're tuned into The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve, the world's greatest podcast. Isn't it lovely?
I'd say it's fairly darn lovely.
Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show. It is The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Thanks for being right here, right now. Another great podcast is forthcoming.
Yes. I'm the Steve that has always seen clearly. My beautiful blue eyes.
Yes, your ocean eyes. That's what we call those, Steve.
That's right. Yeah, hey, welcome back to the podcast. We put some of these things out every week. It's fun. We do it. You enjoy it. It's a win-win for everyone, I believe, or at least for us.
Well, more and more people are enjoying it. We thank you for that. You've taken to our socials. You've been downloading and liking the podcast, and we appreciate it. You could always call our comment line, too, 844-48-VOCAL. It is time, once again, to get vocal with The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve.
Check out all the social media stuff. We post a lot of videos. They're all just sitting there, so you can watch them at your leisure. You can share. You can like. And it's funny, dude. We do randomly get comments from videos that we posted like a year ago. So people are scrolling through the pages and finding older stuff.
That's nice to know. You always wonder, like, and I mean, I do it with some people. If I really like a page or I really like a creator, I'll go to their video page and scroll through old ones. Like, what have I missed?
It is all out there for the listening and seeing and viewing pleasures of America and beyond. We got a lot of listeners in Europe. And quite frankly, a couple in Moscow, from what I can tell. So.
Yeah. Well, all around the world. We have some Aussies. Germans. So they're all over the place.
Yeah. I think we've covered all the continents. So we appreciate everyone tuning in and getting vocal. You're a fan of The Walking Dead, right?
Yeah. I love it.
You know, I binge watched that show through like season 4 or something, and I just stalled. I really need to get back into it. I don't even know who Negan is. I know the actor is, but I've never made it to him in the show.
Let me tell you something that you should not take for granted and not forget. Negan is the highlight of the whole freaking series, dude. Wow. I mean, it doesn't work without him, but he is such a huge part to the show that you are missing out on.
Interesting. Well, now that there's some shows coming out after it, I know some of the characters apparently survive, because I don't know if they'd have their own TV show if not. But, you know, the funny thing about that show is I've asked some other people in my life, like, hey, you ever watched The Walking Dead? And they're like, I'm not really into zombie shows. And I always point out, you know what? It's not really a zombie show. To me, that show is about how quickly society could collapse and what would happen if it did. Because the bad things in that show are really the other humans, not the zombies.
Yes, dude. It's seeing how we react to such a tragedy of end times. You know, that show is about the relationships. Gosh, I mean, it kind of mimics the world we're in now. Good versus evil. Like, some people don't have any compassion for humanity as a whole, and they are out for power. And, you know, so it is. You're right. It's about relationships.
Yeah, it's about society falling apart and what would happen. And I've always thought something like that was sort of inconceivable, but I really could see how society could unravel somewhat quickly in events that would be widespread like that, and how would we all treat each other. And it goes back to my theory as to why religion was created, because in savage times, it's just the strong take from the weak.
Yeah, that's true.
And so how do you tell the strong, like, hey, it's not right that you take my stuff. It's not right that you murder me or rape my wife. Like, you have to have some rules that are bigger, you know, in order to convince an unruly mass that you should do the right thing, you know?
Yes, the Almighty is judging and watching. So be good for them, not me.
Have you ever taken note of someone in your neighborhood, like some sort of gun-loving, you know, conspiracy theory freak where, like, you know, if society does fall apart, I guess I'm going to your house first, because you apparently have the guns and the supplies.
Right. Yeah. You should be careful who you tell what you got. You know what I mean? Like, I got stuff and I've talked about it openly before. And I think a few hours later, like, maybe that's not a good idea. Like, they know now to come to my house, man.
Yeah. So we posted a video a couple of weeks ago about could a civil war actually break out in America in this day and age? Because leading up to the election, you had read a news article that had some disturbing amount, like close to 40% of Republicans that said that they were willing to take to the streets and commit acts of violence to, you know, restore what they thought was America or whatever.
Patriots.
Yeah. And I said then, and I still mainly stand by now that an actual civil war in this day and age, it's just not going to happen. Americans aren't motivated enough. We're all too lazy. We all love our homes and all these things. Like, if a zombie apocalypse happened, or if the COVID pandemic had truly, like, wiped the slate clean, then I could see some sort of societal collapse. But we're not just going to do it ourselves and start, you know, start a war with the neighbors down the street that could go nationwide and last for months or years.
We did see a little tinge of what it possibly could look like during COVID, though. Like, we saw all the people who were like, I'm not going to wear a face diaper, you know, like people started against each other. So
yeah, for sure. COVID, I think, gave us a little glimpse of that. And then I've been through some natural disasters in the last couple of years, you know, a huge wildfire in Northern California that I was forced to be evacuated from my home. I was gone for weeks. And it does start to make you think, like, whether it's crazy elections, whether it's an earthquake or wildfire, whether it's a zombie apocalypse, what do you actually need? What would be a good idea? I mean, guns maybe, but, you know, it has to go deeper than that, right?
Rachel's always got a list going, dude. She's got a list going all the time, dude. I wish I knew that you were going to bring this up, because I would have pulled some of her list of, you know, just stupid shit like solar cell phone chargers, stuff like that, you know, all the way down to food rations, guns and ammo, you know, all the. She's got a list, dude.
Why does she have to keep updating it?
Because it's like when you make a grocery list, dude. Like, you always forget something. Like, it evolves, you know.
I see. But there's stock necessities, not like make sure you take the latest Harry Styles album with you as well.
Right. No, nothing on there like that.
Okay. So I did come across an article today. It was not published by coincidence after the election here. I'm pretty sure this author is like, yeah, people may be wondering, what do you need if society collapses? Because, yeah, we could be heading that direction. So this is an article, Emily Standley. She put together a list here of things that you would actually need to have should society collapse. Funny you mention it, because the first thing on the list, wireless solar power bank. In other words, a wireless solar
battery generator. Yeah.
For your cell phones or whatever. And I actually have, I got one of those for traveling a couple of years ago. And I will say, I live in an area that does have power outages, and candles are nice. But having one of those portable battery packs to recharge your phone, that's pretty huge.
Yeah, no, it's very nice. And especially if you could do solar, if, you know, you don't have power, like, that's nice to be able to do. Yeah, now I don't want to talk about what I have at my house, dude. Like, you know, I don't want anyone coming over here, but I'm taken care of in that regard, too.
Oh, good. Have you heard? I don't think it's going to be on this list, but do you know that there's a seed depository in, I want to say it's Antarctica, maybe the North Pole?
Like where you deposit your seed or get seeds?
Not talking about my dating life now. I should have looked it up before I brought it up on the show. But whether it was like the WHO, the World Health Organization, or UN, somebody has made a seed depository in a remote, desolated area that is meant to survive the apocalypse. That if there's ever a nuclear war, an asteroid hits, if some members of the planet still live, there's a seed stash where you, if you can get there, you can repopulate the earth with all of this produce.
Why would they put it in the furthest place, the hardest place to get to in this country?
Because we would all loot and steal from it in the meantime if it was in, you know, downtown New York City or something. So
You could still make it secret, though. Yeah, I mean, I guess, are you hiking up there to grab the seeds?
Well, Negan will lead the way or something.
Okay. All right. You're not a leader.
Right.
Okay.
So that is out there. I guess mark it on your phones in the meantime.
All right.
Next thing on the list here, things you would need if society falls apart. Water purification tablets or a portable filter. They've always said future wars will be fought over water.
Well, I mean, yeah, it could become a necessity and, you know, it could become very valuable. Costco's been selling those little filter straws for a while, you know, and I've always thought about grabbing some. But I couldn't imagine a scenario where I'm laying down in a stream, like drinking out of a straw, dude. But maybe I should buy them.
Well, you know, they always say the water, you can live longer without food than you can water. So water is a necessity. Is that a coincidence that 2/3 of our planet is made up of the one thing we all have to live?
And 2/3 of our body is also made up of it. How about that?
Which came first there, the chicken or the egg? did we just happen to be plopped on a planet that we need water to live on, and most of the planet is water? Or because most of the planet is water, we're the kind of life forms that evolved that need it?
It depends what you believe, dude. I don't know. Did God make the Earth in 7 days and then put us on it? I don't know the answer to that.
No. I was just having this chat with Crosby again recently about why are humans the only thing on this planet that are different than everything else? We need shelter. We need clothing. We write stories. We sing songs. We create art. Like, why are we so different than everything else on this planet?
Is God made dirt, and dirt don't hurt, dude. Come on.
Because aliens dropped us here is obviously the right answer. We're not from this planet. We can't be.
Sure we can. You don't have any factual data on that, dude. Your faith, you have just as much faith in that story as I do in my own story.
No. See, I argue this with my kids, too. Religion is based purely on belief. You know, give me something to believe in. You, it's magic that you believe in. It makes way more scientific sense to think that we came from a different planet. That makes sense scientifically. The fact that we just poof appeared one day.
No. But you believe that more than you do in evolution?
To some extent, because why isn't there a society of evolved giraffes that all sit around drinking coffee at a corner cafe and waxing eloquent about religion and God and all? Like, how come we're the only thing that has developed to the level that we're at?
It's one in a billion, dude. Listen, giraffes have already evolved to what they are now. They're top tier in the animal world as a giraffe. They're top tier. You've seen evolution with your own eyes. You've seen it. You know that's factual data.
Both can be true, though. What if everything else on this planet has evolved, but we were dropped here?
Who cares, dude? I mean, we've still evolved, right?
It'd blow your mind. It would change society. It would change everything if we understood that we are actually from a different planet.
That would make sense. Okay.
Both can be true. Or we could have been dropped here as the, you know, Homo erectus type of dudes, and we've evolved to what we are now. But we've evolved from point A to point B where nothing else really has. And that just still blows my mind, you know?
You'd let it blow your mind, dude. We were dropped here. Did we parachute in? How did we get here?
I think aliens dropped us here as either an experiment to like an ant farm. Like, you just put the little things in there and you sit back and watch them for a while and see what they do.
Yeah. Truman Show.
It could be. Or maybe, and I saw this in a movie. I think it was Don't Look Up.
Yeah.
Netflix a while ago. Like, the whole theory of that thing is the elites go to another planet at the end and they repopulate that planet. So what if something like that happened? Like an ancient civilization fell apart. They sent us here, but there was a pact. Like, none of us are going to say where we came from. Like, we're just starting over, okay? Everyone, shh. we're just here now.
But what I'm saying is there's just as much proof in that as there is proof in me saying God created the earth in 7 days. And, you know, I mean, it's the same thing. Basic. You're a Scientologist, dude.
I am a Scientologist. I'm a scientist. There is way more practical knowledge behind what I'm saying.
But not
you're
proof.
Still believing in magical fairy tale that we all just poof appeared. I'm saying we evolved somewhere in this universe and ended up here. And that you can tell we didn't start here because we're different than everything else. That scientific knowledge and practicality.
No, it doesn't, dude. Well, you showed up on the magical mystery tour. How did we get here?
Space travel. That's scientific.
Yeah, you have no proof that that is real.
Well, we know space travel is. We don't know that God is. So at least part of my story is true.
Space travel. We came in a space shuttle. Is that what you're saying?
We started at Mars, and Mars fell apart. We came a planet over. Is that so impractical?
It's not factual. Maybe it's not impractical, but it can't be. We haven't seen the data to show that that's a fact.
Just because it hasn't been proven doesn't mean it can't still be true.
It's like religion, dude.
Well, again, you're just poof from nothing. I'm saying something. You're coming from nothing. I'm coming from something. Therefore, I'm a step ahead.
Listen, all you've got in your story is a spaceship. The rest of it has never been proven. We've never seen another life.
I mean, like we talked about with Star Wars a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, maybe those other societies have already come and gone. And we're the one little crew that was sent to this third rock from the sun just to repopulate or be the science experiment. Maybe we're the vacation planet. And while everyone was here vacationing, that planet blew up. Now we're the only ones here.
You know what's never been more clear to me? That you are a comic book reader from birth, dude. This sounds like a comic book to me. I mean, it's a cool story. I do like it, but yeah, I don't know that.
It is how Superman came here, right? I mean, his planet was blowing up. They launched him to Earth. What if that was a wide scale thing? What if all of Krypton was blown and they sent 100 people here? Like, I'm just saying that has some level of practicality that is plausible. Whereas poof, no, nothing requires total faith.
Dude, because it was in a comic book, it's plausible. That's not plausible.
Of course,
any more than religion.
No, not, come on. If there was life on another planet, why couldn't they have come here? That's plausible.
If there was a God in the sky, why couldn't he have created this?
But you know that life exists. So obviously life could exist on another planet. We know you can travel the cosmos. Those are all true things.
No, we have never been anywhere where a life could exist on another planet.
Not yet. Not our society.
Right. So we haven't had it, dude. There's been no proof of that.
But the foundation is there. We can travel the cosmos.
No, dude. No. No, I won't accept that.
All right. Well, my point is, get a water for your fire because here on planet Earth, you need water to survive for some odd reason. Whatever that is, you need it. Okay.
Okay.
Enough said.
Yes. There you go. Thank you, Stan Lee, creator of Superheroes. All right. This one makes some practical sense, I think. A first aid kit. That's kind of boring, but yeah, sure.
Yes, it is. I've always felt like, why do we feel like a first aid kit is kind of boring? Like, you know, you should have a first aid kit for all intent and purpose, but like, it does seem kind of boring. Like, I need some Band-Aids, do I?
Because you don't need it until you need it, and then it's important. You're like, God damn it, why don't I have some Band-Aids around the house?
That's right. You should have a first aid kit.
That was one of those being a bachelor dad things when I got divorced, where I'm like, I don't need a thermometer or Band-Aids in my house. Like, what? But then as soon as the kid gets sick, you're like, God damn it, why don't I have a Band-Aid or thermometer or anything here? So
funny, man. When we fostered kids, like, there was a list of shit you had to buy, and it was all stuff I didn't have: a fire extinguisher, first aid kit, you know, a ladder to get off the second floor if your house got on fire. Like, I didn't have any of that stuff.
Well, pack some of it for your apocalyptic kit. You mentioned this too, non-perishable food. That's kind of boring, but, you know, pack some M&Ms, I guess.
No, you buy those 5-gallon dry food. You know, it's kind of like the MREs. Like, you could feed your family for a long time on some of these dry foods if you have filtered water.
Yeah, and you know who else does that? Astronauts that travel the cosmos.
Astronaut ice cream? Is that what you're talking about? That all we buy at the Science Center? Yes.
I'm just saying, all astronauts, because they're traveling intergalactically, they, you know, they need some of that stuff.
You don't even know that we've been to the moon, Steve.
Okay. I do, because I believe in science, in fact. You know, you can see the tire treads up there, right?
Yeah, you can see the flag blowing in the wind. I know.
There's no wind up there. All right. The next thing is, this is our apocalyptic list. And this is not just us making stuff up. It's from a person that wrote this, so it has to be real.
Right.
Sturdy shelter. Yeah. Okay. So bring in some sort of tent or a lean-to or something. Sure. Okay.
Sturdy shelter, meaning not your home, something portable.
Yeah, this is apocalyptic time. So they say a tent, a tarp, or even a well-built lean-to can provide crucial protection from the elements, because humans need that. They can't just live out in nature like everything else on this freaking planet.
I don't know if I'm leaving my house, dude, to be honest with you. Until it's taken from me, I don't know that I'm leaving my house. I mean, this is the structure.
Well, I think the assumption here is this all falls apart. So, yeah, you don't have a house anymore.
All right.
So bring a tent. The next thing on my list, I will just say one word and you tell me what this one item is, okay?
All right.
MacGyver.
Swiss Army knife.
Yes. bring some sort of multi-tool, you know, the classic example, of course, being a Swiss Army knife. I have a really nice DeWalt multi-tool that's in my dirt bike travel pack. So,
yeah,
Yeah, bring some sort of multi-tool. But yes, MacGyver is the. I think Switzerland owes Neil Patrick Harris. I almost
James him. Dean Richard Dean. Anderson
Richard Dean Anderson Richard Dean Anderson MacGyver. Switzerland owes that man a lot of money because I don't think I would know what a Swiss Army knife is if it wasn't for MacGyver. And I still have a Swiss Army knife, and I love that.
You've had them over the years, dude, and they've been kind of a special item to you.
Well, you know, my dad is a international traveler. And I was in the second grade when he went to Switzerland and brought me back my first actual Swiss Army knife.
Yeah.
And, the day before school pictures, I thought, let me see if these scissors work on it. So I cut a little chunk of my bangs. So my second grade picture, I have these bowl haircut with a straight bang line and then this notch out, going across my
face. Fantastic.
But yeah. And then years ago, of course, I got my my Swiss Army knife confiscated. Coming back from Mexico. Somehow I smuggled it into Mexico fine. Coming out of Mexico, though, that was a problem.
Couldn't bring it back, dude. That damn TSA.
Right? And I even said to the TSA, what happened to the era where you could travel with a pocket knife less than 3 inches? They're like, oh, yeah, 9/11 happened. We don't let you do that anymore.
Yeah. You can't travel with box knives anymore either. It's crazy.
It is crazy. And good luck hijacking a plane with a Swiss Army knife. But I digress. MacGyver could do it, though. Right.
Well, they did it with box knives, dude. Okay, right?
That's what they tell us anyways. Do you believe it?
Gosh.
All right. Moving down the list here. Make sure you bring some sort of headlamp or a flashlight. That way you can tell scary stories as you fall asleep at night.
Yeah. Let's hold it under your mouth.
A compass or a map. Yeah, we just talked last episode about the fact most people can't read a map for some reason. I understand not having a paper map in your car. I still don't understand the concept of not understanding how a map works.
Well, if you've never seen one before, like maybe you would have trouble with it. You know,
yeah, but come
it's
on,
foreign to you.
Haven't you played Mario Kart or something? Some video game, Zelda, where they got the map that you're following? Like maps seem pretty universal to me, the concept of them.
Yeah, I guess you could figure out where you're going, but you don't know all the crucial things, like which interstates head east and west, which head north and south. You know, you don't really know how to use a map to scale. How many miles is that going to be? Well, I would know how to figure that out. Would you?
Is it helpful information?
Sure.
If I'm telling you how to get to the, I almost said the kingdom, I don't know, Safeco Field, whatever. If I'm telling you how to get something.
Neither of those exist anymore. I don't know. I got to see if I got enough gas, dude. Come on.
So if it's 3 inches, you know how many miles? And then you
yeah.
calculate. Okay. Well, kudos to you. What about a compass? Speaking of things I keep in my dirt bike backpack, I do have a compass in there that I have never once used, but it's in there in case I need it.
Do you know how to use it?
Yeah, I mean, end points to north. What else you got to know?
Yeah, is it calibrated? Like, have you checked it to make sure it works? Like, most kids or younger people even use it on their iPhone, which, you know, may not work in the end time.
This is an old school actual compass, like with the little needle with the little magnet or whatever's underneath it.
Yeah, Boy Scout stuff.
Right. How do you calibrate that? Isn't it the earth that calibrates it?
I don't know. I don't. Now I'm saying I don't have a lot of knowledge on how that actual compass works.
Mm. Well, okay. I think the funny part to me is you better know where the city is or whatever the road you're trying to get to is in relation to where you're stuck in the middle of the woods.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess you need a compass and a map. One or the other, maybe not as helpful.
I just need my wife, dude. Like, she knows how to do it. I don't need to know how. So I just need to focus on protecting her, and then I'm going to be fine.
All right. Very good. Is that military service coming in handy?
Mm-hmm.
All right. We talked about this recently, too. Fire starter. You got to have something to start a fire with during the apocalypse. Matches and lighters, the easy ways to go. But flint or knowing how to rub two sticks together.
Yeah.
Again, I understand the concept. I've never tried it, though.
Well, we saw people try plenty of time on Survivor, the early days of the game show Survivor, try and use wood to light a fire. And I think there were a few that were successful, but that's not an easy thing to do. And hopefully you just go get yourself a few flints and carry some lighters. Like, you'll be fine.
Right. Or find the other apocalyptic people camping next to you and murder them and take their matches.
Or just say, can I get a light? You know, like, well, you know, that might be easier.
That's true, too. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to overreact.
Okay.
All right. So Nick and I have been radio broadcasters for close to 30 years now. So this should make us feel good, Nick. On the Apocalyptic Survival Guide, bring a battery-powered or solar-powered radio. Good old radio. Take that, Spotify.
We've been preaching it for years, like good old-fashioned radio. There will be a day when that technology is the only thing that'll work, and people will be huddled up next to the radio by the masses. It's all that's going to work. Have a little radio with you. You can get a little hand crank radio, you know, to charge it up. And yeah, you need a radio.
Now, the bad news is the entire radio industry has automated itself. So there's not going to be a human showing up at that radio station to keep broadcasting or share any pertinent information. But they'll have Kenny G on a loop. So you could enjoy that.
At least have some entertainment. Hopefully, there will be at least one last message. And then maybe, you know, if we watch The Walking Dead and believe that, like, people will sneak into the radio station to put on a repeated message, you know, go to New Orleans. You know, it's safe there.
Yeah. You know, there was an era where I would have risked life and limb to break into the radio station and broadcast during the end times. Like during that fire I was evacuated from, I stayed in town as long as I could to keep broadcasting. I don't think I would do that now. Screw that.
You were Walter Cronkite, dude. Yeah, you did it. We have a buddy in common that was in New Orleans for Hurricane Katrina. Yeah. That was all out crazy. And he was trapped up in a high rise at a radio station he started at like 3 or 4 days before Katrina. They finally ended up rescuing these people off the roof in a helicopter. Do you remember?
I do. Yeah.
That's end of time shit, dude.
It is. And yeah, if we're coming down to the local morning man showing up, I think we're already screwed. So I don't know if it matters. But
yeah.
But yeah, bring a battery-powered radio. You know, my my son the other day told me that one of his high school teachers asked a question to the class, not knowing he was my son. Like, hey, everyone, is radio going to go away someday? Will there be no more AM and FM radio? You know what my son said?
And did he stand up and tell it like it was?
No, he's like, oh, yeah, that stuff's going away for sure. I'm just like, dude, what are you doing to me?
That's funny. Well, he's seen some of it firsthand, so you can't blame him, right?
Yeah, but as I spend way too much of my free time telling people, like, do you know what the number one form of mass media is in America right now in the year 2024? It ain't television.
Yeah, it's radio.
Even Elon Musk. I rephrase that. Even Leon Musk. If you go buy a brand new Tesla, does it have an AM and FM radio in it still? Yeah. Yeah. You think they have that out of nostalgia?
Right. Yeah, there's not a record player in there. There's not a phonograph in there, but there's a radio in there.
Exactly. Having said that, let's continue with our podcast because fuck the radio.
Okay, please.
All right. Let's see. These are apocalyptic things. Oh, hey, this is fun. Bring some books and some board games. You're going to be bored as society crumbles around you.
Of course, dude. You're going to have a little bit of downtime. You want to fill that with some creativity, something to keep you inspired.
And if you need a reason to murder everyone you're with, bring Monopoly with you because that never ends well.
No, that's true. I didn't think about that.
It also takes like 7 months to finish one game, so it'll kill a lot of time for you.
I love Monopoly, dude. I've never flipped a board. Like, I've never got pissed off and flipped a board of a four-hour game. I'm fair, I am concise, and I'm good at Monopoly, so.
Interesting. Let's see, they're moving into a category of defense and protection. First one is personal protective equipment. Depending upon the situation, consider masks, gloves, or other camping essentials to protect you from various threats. So, yeah, gloves and masks. I mean, if it is a COVID end time, you know, virus spreading the earth, you're going to want some matches and some sort of N95 mask.
Why don't you just get a gas mask, dude? And just, I mean, that'll work for everything, right?
Maybe. Although I'm told by a bunch of mega people that masks don't work or do anything. So,
face divers.
Exactly. How about this? We were just talking about this too. Bring a sewing kit for the end of days because you're not going to Walmart then. That's the scenario I would agree that you should know how to sew. Otherwise, stop patching your clothes and just go get new ones.
Nah, I'm not going to stop patching my clothes, dude. I won't. I won't stop patching them because, you know what? You just like to fill our landfills up with disposable clothes. I mean, I'm trying to do something for your kids and the next generation here.
I'm trying to pay it forward. I've been watching Gordon Ramsay's show where he travels the world. And yeah. There are so many like remote jungles in the middle of Central America where people are wearing like Nike t-shirts or Fox Racing or something. Where I'm like, how the hell did they get that? It's because people donated. It just gets around the world. So,
yeah, it's crazy to see some of the stuff they wear in, you know, deep in the jungles.
Yes, indeed. This is interesting. So personal safety, in the event of a societal collapse, essential personal protection, self-defense, and safety items, including self-defense tools, should be brought, such as pepper spray and personal alarms. Oh, that's quaint.
Personal? What are you talking about, dude?
Who would that go running if somebody did a little siren?
No, dude, I would run from it because I think it's a trap, first of all. But that seems like, first of all, gas mask covers everything. Bear spray. Don't carry mace, dude. Carry bear spray and then you'll be good to go. And you should have nunchucks. You should have, if you are anything like Walking Dead, you should have a samurai sword on hand. That makes for a good weapon. Crossbow.
It's easy to say you should have guns, but what's going to happen when you run out of bullets?
Well, you get, there's one guy on Walking Dead that can make them.
Okay. That is a lost art form, I know. So you better hope that guy's in your little group. The guy that knows how to make bullets. And by the way, has the casings and the gunpowder and everything else just for all time to come. I think that stuff runs out eventually, even if you know how to make the bullet.
That's why you saw the character Negan was simply a baseball bat wrapped in barbed wire, because it was a great weapon that never ran out of ammunition unless you die.
Exactly. And the samurai sword. And even, what's his face, the motorcycle dude with the crossbow?
Daryl,
yes, who I now know lives because he has his own show. But, you know, but crossbow's not bad because you can pull that thing back out of people. I mean, so there's some practicality to that.
For sure. And way easier to make an arrow than it is to make a bullet.
Yes. And I will say, on this list, I don't actually see firearms anywhere. So I don't know if this is just a hippy-dippy list or if they're, I don't know, being practical about the fact that it's going to be hard to maintain a firearm.
Hmm.
And let me see, just a couple last items here. Bring items for your pets. You got to bring a portable water dish and a food bowl and some toys for a rodent.
We've talked about this, too. Like, all right, this is really going to make me sound like an asshole, but I have a cat and a dog. We always kind of talk quietly, not in front of the children, okay, that we obviously bring Oliver, okay? We bring the dog with us. Maybe the cat chills, okay? Because have you ever tried to walk a cat? I mean, it doesn't go well. So the cat might stay, but I'm bringing Oliver.
I hope your cat's not a Spotify subscriber. Very offended.
Yes. Right.
How about this one? I wouldn't have thought of this, actually. Barter items. Bring small, valuable items like precious metals, tools, battery, alcohol, seeds. I'd bring a bong or something, too, on that list. But
medication.
Medication, yeah. Bring items to barter with. This is like Native American times.
Well, in the beginning of The Walking Dead, I mean, for the first few months, bartering was huge. And eventually, like you said, all that shit's going to start running out. But, yeah, have some stuff to barter with. That's a great reminder.
Yeah. That's why you should travel with a woman, because she can,
No, dude, don't say that.
I'm saying that they're handy. They know how to sew things, I assume, I guess. I don't know.
There's going to be a conversation with your girlfriend. It's going to be like, what?
Gotta take one for the team. But then if we come across a tribe of like gay men or something, I would take one for the team too. I'm going to keep it equal across the genders. I'm circumcised. I got my son circumcised. I'm not religious.
Then you're going to be perfect, dude.
Very valuable. You can barter with all sorts of things. That's my point. And that is my list of things we need for the apocalypse. So there you go. Smartphone not on the list. Honestly, what would you use it for? If society's actually collapsing, you think there's cell towers working?
There's a flashlight, dude. There'll be a flashlight. We have to think about the time, because there's different stages in all of this. And like I mentioned, like, I'm staying at home, dude. I'm protecting my fortress, okay? I imagine I'll stay in my house for a couple, maybe months or so, and then it'll probably be taken over. I'll have to leave and travel somewhere for food, whatever. I have a list of when those burglars do come out, these are the first things that they check when they break into your home. So you may want to rehide some things. Are you good at hide and seek? Well, we'll see.
Okay, so this certainly could be apocalyptic, but this is also probably just common nowadays, how to burglar-proof your home, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're keeping stuff in your house, dude. And if you believe Fox News, there's more break-ins now than ever has been before. Do you have a safe in your house? Let's just hide some things, dude, okay? Bedroom drawers are not the place to do it. The dresser drawers are the first thing that a burglar or a thief will go to, because they think, oh, there's all your valuable stuff right there in your bedroom drawers.
Yeah, I don't know. This list, I feel like if someone is going to break in your home, they're going to look around. I mean, is this under the premise that they have like a game show? It's 60 seconds to find the most obvious things. Like, unless you're going to put everything in a safe, aren't they going to probably find it anywhere?
No, not all the time, because, well, like, if you come to a lot of houses, I mean, you can break in, but it's probably better that you run in and grab some things quick and get out. Like, you don't want to stay for a long time searching all around the house, right?
So don't leave my jewelry and my precious furs laying on the kitchen table.
Well, it says, you know, for bedroom drawers, it said a lot of people keep small jewelry boxes in there. They put their wedding rings in there maybe when they go to sleep at night. Spare keys for their cars, watches, this kind of stuff. This is easy grab stuff to throw in your pockets. It's the first place that they usually go.
Mm. You know, here's the catch-22, the yin-yang of this discussion is, you know, yeah, I guess that makes sense. You know, don't leave things in your bedside table drawer. But what are the odds someone's ever going to break in your home? My point is, do you really want to change your daily habits where you're constantly hiding everything for the one in a zillion scenario that someone's going to break in and really go through your house that thoroughly, as opposed to just grabbing the TV, like you said, and just running? Like,
let me tell you that I think it's a good question that you ask, and my answer would be the people that back into parking places when they park their car, when they back in, they're the ones that are going to stop putting stuff in their bedside drawers. You know, these are the people that are paranoid enough that they have to back into a parking spot in case they have to get out quick, you know. So, yeah, I don't know that I'm still going to put stuff in my bedside drawer. I'm just telling you, this is the first place they're coming, Steve.
And why do people have to back into parking spaces? I hate that. I've heard this whole, like, if you have to make a quick escape thing, like, okay, maybe if you're parking at a concert and you want to be able to jet out into the flow of traffic, but at the grocery store, whatever, like, it drives me nuts. And it's almost always people with giant trucks that feel the need to back into the parking space.
Yes. And it is. It's a pain in the ass. I know we always get comments when we talk about this on the podcast that, oh, a lot of the people who do that are law enforcement. It's just out of habit. They want to be able to, you know, jet out of there. Like, why? Why? What's going on in your life?
Okay, Bruce Wayne, if the bat signal is going to go off, you just got to beeline it out of there, then I guess so. Otherwise, I hate it when you're going down a row of cars and somebody in front of you passes an empty space and you're like, oh, they passed it. I'm going to, oh, beep, beep, beep. They go past it so they can back into it.
Yes.
Which then stalls everything around. I would argue you're spending more time backing in than you're saving pulling out at the end of this little adventure of yours.
Yes. Steve, the last time I went out of the country, I shouldn't say last time, a few times ago, I was always very worried about valuables in other countries because, you know, sometimes you leave them at an Airbnb or you leave them at a hotel and there's people in and out of that room. So I purchased something I thought was fantastic. It was a hairbrush that had a secret compartment that would pop off that you could hide like rings and valuables and stuff in there.
Listen, traveling, that makes way more sense. Personally, I use, what do they call it, the prison pocket?
Well, your butthole?
Yeah, I just put everything in my ass, which is why I only travel with my iPhone and not my iPad, because I know my limitations.
You just asked me if we were going to be traveling together in the near future. I'm just going to give you my stuff, dude.
Don't ask to borrow my phone. That's all. Yeah. No, listen, traveling, it does make sense to have some sort of the money belt thing or some sort of hiding in the hotel, because you've got a glaring target on you when you're a tourist.
Yeah, for sure. We've seen in the movies that a lot of time, like if you have drugs or if you have a lot of money, people will be like, oh, you should freeze it in ice and put it in the freezer. It's the second place that burglars go to check is in your freezer. And that may sound strange, but burglars know that some people hide money or jewelry in the freezer, and they will, or drugs a lot of the time. They'll, you know, put it in a Ziploc bag and then freeze it in a block of ice and keep it in the freezer, right?
Wow. Doesn't that damage your jewelry in some way, shape, or form, heating it and cooling it like that? It's metal, most of it.
Yeah, you would think so. My wife baked her wedding ring into a meatloaf once, and that heat made her lose her main stone. So, yeah, I would think so.
No, I could see that. Listen, I think if you have a safe in your home that is bolted to the ground, because if you have a regular safe that someone can just pick up and take with them, I don't see how that's doing any favors. There's all sorts of hacks to open those kinds of safes. So, you know, I don't know, why hide it in your freezer and all this crap? Like, if anything, leave it in an obvious place so they can get in and get the hell out.
And not ruin your shit, like throw everything over, like here's all our stuff.
Or be waiting for you when you get home because you've made them search your entire freaking house.
Next place burglars go is under your bathroom sink or your kitchen sink. It's a less obvious spot is some people's spot to hide small safes and documents, even cash, because a thief is never going to go underneath your sink in the bathroom or the kitchen, but it is the third most popular place for them to go.
I'm starting to think hiding it in the most obvious places is the last place they'll look. If they're all looking in sinks and freezers, like just sticking in your desk drawer, they're never going to look there.
Right. Yeah, you may be right, dude. Bathroom cabinets as a whole are the next one because people are looking for prescription drugs or small pieces of jewelry in the medicine cabinet. That's number four where they go.
Listen, a burglar in my house following these tips is going to find a lot of porn, bondage equipment, and bongs.
Yeah, and some poo wipes in the bathroom, dude. I mean,
I don't hide them. Bondage and bongs is pretty much what you'll find if you search too thoroughly in my house.
They're going to think you're so cool. They're just going to leave. They're glad we can't steal from this guy, man. He's awesome.
They're going to look me up on a dating app. This guy seems fun. Let's hang out with him.
Next place they go is into the home office, the living room for the entertainment center. That's when they're going to start going for your electronics, you know, all your TVs and stuff like that.
Okay. Which nowadays, TVs have become very cheap. I realized recently I let somebody borrow a stereo receiver of mine, and I thought, should I ask for that thing back? Then I'm like, am I ever going to have a home stereo again with a receiver and a CD player and big speakers? Like, it's an antique.
But an antique you want, dude. You got rid of it? I kept mine. I've got mine.
I mean, I guess I can go get it back, but I just thought, like, why? Like, that's mine. I should take that back. No, why? I don't ever foresee myself using that.
So. Next place that thief is going to go is your garage, you know, because they're thinking about taking off, and they'll probably take your car at that point.
Well, all my most precious things are in my garage, so please don't go out there.
Yeah.
Dirt bike under my kitchen sink or someplace. Where should I be hiding things? I guess that's the question this list leaves me with.
Off-site. Okay, right. You should leave them off-site.
Just have a very simplistic lifestyle, just a bed in the middle of an empty house, and all your stuff will be safe.
The last place that I will share with you that the thief will go after the garage is up into your attic, because they know that you keep a lot of, you know, like old antique or collectible shit up in the attic.
Okay. Listen, this burglar's got a lot of time in your house.
Yes,
so nothing is safe. They're going to find everything. If they have time to go up in the attic.
I don't store anything in my attic, dude. Insulation is up there. There's, you know, I have nothing in my attic.
It's creepy. I don't want to go in an attic, period. I'm not hiding valuables up there.
Are you hiding valuables at all? I mean, do you have anything that you hide? No. Other than like sex toys.
Everything's hanging on my walls. It's of any value. So no, I mean, honestly, I don't have a stash of anything except for like bongs and bondage stuff or whatever. Like, no. No,
I think we should just have insurance, right? I mean, that's the most important thing to have is insurance.
Yes. Replace these things, I guess, is the ultimate answer. I mean, I don't know. Again, the odds of someone breaking in are slim. And then the odds of them having that much time in your home to actually go through all of these little intricate places. But again, this list is showing everywhere not to hide stuff. They fail to mention where. They've listed almost every aspect of a home. The garage, the kitchen, the bathroom, the bedroom, the attic. So
there's ones we missed on here too, like closet shelves, under the mattress, kids' rooms. You know, like pretty much all everywhere in your house.
you're just screwed if someone breaks in your home. That's the bottom line.
All right. If someone breaks into your house and you have a choice that you are there or you're not there, what would you pick?
Well, that's a great question. I've always argued that one of the things about, you know, gun owners that want to keep a gun on top of the fridge or in the drawer by the front door so that if someone breaks in, they can just immediately have a gun and start shooting people. Like, first of all, most burglars are not going to break into a home if they know you're in there. These are not master criminals looking to have some protracted battle. So if they pull up and they can tell your home, a light's on, the car's in the driveway, they're probably going to keep going. They want the low-hanging fruit. So I guess the default answer would be, yeah, I'd rather be home, because odds are as soon as they realize it, they're either not going to come in, or when they do come in and you start screaming, they're going to turn and run. They're not going to do this grand home invasion where they tie you up and ransack the place.
Well, maybe they will. Don't say that that's a for sure fact. It happens. It's not the majority, but it happens.
It happens, and aliens visit the planet every now and again, too. Okay? I'm just saying.
You ever seen Dateline, dude? You should watch a little more Dateline to see what's going on in this world.
I do not watch Dateline, but almost every one of those, it's the husband, it's the boyfriend, it's someone you know. Like some random burglar is going home to home with rope and duct tape so that they can secure the entire house and just take their time. Like,
it happens.
A lot of effort.
Yeah.
Does it happen though?
It honestly does, dude. I'm telling you, factual. I've seen cases of it happening for sexual assault reasons, for killing, for burglary. I mean, it does happen. I don't think it is the majority, but it does happen. Have you practiced what you would do? I mean, you talked about screaming. Have you practiced what you would do if someone came into your house?
Walk me through that. What would that look like?
I mean, like, I know that my wife has she's got a little bow staff that, you know, she'll go out in the driveway with and like twirl.
Really? She's one of the Ninja Turtles. This is your guys' plan.
No, this is her plan. Okay. She twirls it around and, you know, squats down and makes all kinds of karate motions and movements. So she has acted it out. I've thought about it. I haven't acted it out, but I've thought about what would you do? You've never thought about it?
I don't think I have, no. I mean, what a weird one in a zillion scenario. So I'm sitting at home and someone comes in my house. I guess I would yell. I would start calling 911. You would run out the back door if I really felt intimidated. Like, what's your plan?
It depends. I have nightmares about this, which is probably why I have thought about it in my head. I have reoccurring nightmare that someone comes into my house while I'm sleeping, while my wife and I are sleeping, and is standing over me. I have that reoccurring nightmare. So I've thought about what I would do. I mean, and I guess the question is just like, what would you do to fight for your life? You know, in this scenario I'm in, I can't really run. You know, I just have to stay and fight it out. What would I do?
I think the main choice is spit or swallow in that scenario that you're describing there.
You always comes back to that with you, dude. You think they just are there for sex?
You just said sexual assault was the more likely scenario where someone's going to come in and tie you up.
But not for me.
No, you're a good looking dude. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you should think about it. That's all I'm saying. I mean,
what's the answer? What do you do?
Well, I don't know. You got a bat under your bed? Do you know what you would grab?
I do have my Ken Griffey Jr. Seattle Mariners bat day that I still have.
the mini bat?
No, it's a full size bat. It was full size. It's black too. It's big and black, so
it's intimidating. So I know what you're talking about. So that would be your go to.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that I should admit this, but I'm not a gun owner. I'm not opposed to guns. I just walk and talk in my sleep, and I've always worried that I'll wake up one day in the middle of my house walking around with a gun. So I've always shied away from it for that reason. Although, yeah, as I brought up before, I think a smart plan is to own a gun but only have blanks, because that's going to scare the burglar off. Burglar just want to get in a gunfight with you. Just bang, bang, bang. Everyone runs.
Bang, bang, bang. It's back to sex with you, dude.
Yes, if the bang, bang, bang doesn't work, you have to bang, bang. So, you know, you got to do to get out of these things. But so listen, if someone, if you wake up and someone's hovering over you, I guess just thrash and go, you know, punch the guy in the throat, do your best. Like, I think adrenaline would kick in and I'd have a 50-50 chance.
Yeah.
Not if I'm already tied up or he's got a gun to my head or whatever. But again, such a rare scenario. Middle of the night, someone breaks into your home, makes it into your bedroom, and standing there over you. Like, you're screwed in that scenario, man. I'm sorry. That's some sort of master burglar.
I think about the throat punch too, dude. It's funny we both think, you know, because that would be the best move at that point in time to really do. Yeah. Maybe your only choice.
Listen, I am a former Michigan State karate champion. I don't know how often I tout this, but I won the state karate championship in Michigan.
No, you did not.
Oh, I absolutely did.
Wow, what age?
I was in fifth grade. Still.
Oh, man, I've never heard this as long as I've known you. Never knew that you adorned a gi and were a karate champion.
Dude, I literally had the Danielson headband on, too, because it was during Karate Kid. That's what inspired me.
Wow, and, dude.
Yes, I learned some basic self-defense techniques that I still know to this day. Like, if someone grabs your arm or whatever, I know the technique how to get out of that. It's a very good trick to have, because that's more likely someone tries to grab you and pull you or something. But most of the techniques I learned, you would probably be on the hook for manslaughter if you did them in just like a bar fight or something. Because punching someone in the throat is one of the easiest ways to drop a big guy, but you could easily kill them.
Yeah, right. And that would be my goal at that point in time, you know. But like you said, it's not a bar fight move, really.
Gouging.
You know, what do you know about sweeping the leg, dude?
Oh, yeah. No, I can do a little, a little leg sweep for sure. You go to kick me, I'm going to grab that leg and sweep your other leg. You're down on the ground. I mean,
so you don't have a problem with that?
No, no. Right. I think I actually could do okay in a self-defense, you know, fight back sort of situation because of some of my background in the martial arts, in Taekwondo.
Taekwondo. Okay. Yeah. I never knew this, dude, and I love it.
I won two state championships, by the way, that day. Not only did I win for sparring, I won for my nunchuck routine. I had an actual weapons routine with nunchucks. I won first place for that thing.
Listen, were they padded nunchucks or were they solid wood?
Well, you practice with padded nunchucks, but the actual routine, I had full-on wooden nunchucks with a carved dragon in them. It's pretty sweet. Yeah, true story. True story.
No, it's not. Is this real? Yeah,
you can ask my family. There are pictures going around.
What belt were you?
I made it to blue belt. Blue belt. That's about two-thirds of the way. It was white, yellow, green, blue, brown, black. And each one had a stripe, a division within it. So, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, this is all true.
Do you have your belt?
My mom does. She does in some box somewhere. Yes, absolutely.
She offered
to send it to me a few years ago. I was like, I don't know why I would want that. So.
Of course you want it, dude. It's a statement. I mean, it is a message.
Yeah, I'm a dangerous weapon. You know what's funny? There's some actual self-defense advice for everyone that was taught to me by my dojo master, whatever they called him.
Sensei, dude.
Yeah, it's my sensei, I think. So the first day of karate, he was like, all right, here's self-defense 101. If you're ever squared up to somebody about to get into a fight, do you know what the first thing you should do is?
What?
Turn around and run.
You are a dojo master, dude. That is words of Miyagi himself, right?
His point was Taekwondo is self-defense. It's not, you don't want to get in a fight. You should avoid a fight at all costs. But if you have to get in one, here's what you do.
Oh, boy. Oh, this has been entertaining and enlightening, dude. You gotta move next door to me. I feel like I could use some of that protection.
Well, if a bunch of men dressed in skeleton costumes ever try to accost you, I will jump the fence and save your life and then teach you the ways of cleaning my floors.
Sanding the floor. That is good to know, dude. Yeah.
Mm. Well, you see, Nick, I know we've known each other a long time, but there's so many layers to my onion.
I've heard couples say, like, do we know everything about each other, dude? Is that it? Do we know everything about each other? And I thought my answer would have been yes, but I have never heard that.
Yeah, no. As I've told other people, like, there's a lot in this head. Like, I can't just remember all this stuff spontaneously, but if it comes up, I'd be like, oh, yeah, hey, yeah, by the way, I won the state karate championship in fifth grade. Like, wait, what? Oh, yeah, yeah.
I can't believe that you've never brought that up before. Well, I mean, why haven't you whipped that out on me is unbelievable.
I don't know. It was just never relevant. This is the fun of what we do. Because if we haven't had all these life experiences, what would we be talking about? But there you go. We just killed 7 minutes talking about my karate experience.
Yes. And it was time well spent. This is the Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Thanks for listening to the podcast. See our socials.
Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, X, who knows? TikTok, Reddit, and YouTube. Those are our favorites. So go find us on there and support the cause. We are the resistance now. God damn it. So comment, spread, all that kind of good stuff.
Yes, sensei.
Yeah. Comment and spread is also my dating philosophy. So.
You are getting a call from your girlfriend, dude, after this podcast. The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Until next time.
If Nick and Steve would have been locked up with Andy Dufresne, he wouldn't have wanted to escape. These are just facts.
That's a fact.